take a politically divided nation, send its young men off to war, add a debate about abortion and civil rights, and you've described modern-day headlines and the NBC drama American Dreams. The show, set during the turbulent 1960s, has apparently struck an emotional chord with two generations, baby boomers drawn to the nostalgia of the times, and a younger generation captivated by parallels they see today. And while some of the show's writers are mining their own personal memories, most are writing about a time they studied in history class. NPR's Gloria Hillard visited the studio and filed this report.
It's called The Table Read. When a show's cast, writers and producers all sit down, in this case at three large adjoining tables, and go through the script.
Fade in July 1966. We're at Bandstand, Studio B. Roxanne's putting...
When American Dreams debuted 3 years ago, the time was 1963. Since then, the show's two families, the Pryors and the Walkers, have experienced a phenomenon called American Bandstand, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, race riots, and the Vietnam War. Jonathan Prince is the show's creator and executive producer.
This show is about two families, one black, one white, working class families, who begin with the death of a beloved president and end with the impeachment of a reviled president. And my question was sort of, what happened to us during those 10 years?
The task of answering that question is the job of the people in this room.
Yes, that's the point.
I end up missing with the Marines.
The writers, who are tossing M&Ms and ideas around a table in a backlot bungalow, the actors are gone. It's time for a rewrite.
There's Willis.
For most of them, like Becky Hartman Edwards, the 60s was their parents' generation.
My parents were kind of hippies and actually anti-war activists, so it's been fun for me to actually talk to them about what it was like for them.
In this room, there's the requisite stash of caffeine, carbohydrates, and a thick spiral ring notebook of everything you wanted to know about the 60s. Nancy Wan, who was born in 1970, says the research is pretty easy. It's the emotions of the era that remain a little more elusive for the younger writers.
The optimism of the era and how that is really foreign to most of the writers on staff who weren't even born in the 60s. You know, how do you grab a hold of that and dramatize it?
Sometimes they listen to the writer with his feet on the table and crow's feet around his eyes, John Romano.
So that was my generation, and I was, in fact, I think this is useful to the room, too, I was a Catholic school kid in a working-class family in the 60s in Newark, New Jersey. So to take them through these years is really, for me, a very personal recreation.
Sitting at this table for his first season is Jason Wilborn, a tall 35-year-old African-American. His first assignment was episode 307, which advanced the story of a son fighting in Vietnam.
JJ's missing, Mick. We got a telegram. It said he's missing in action.
My dad's a Vietnam veteran, and he and my mother grew up in the South, in Texas, and he loves to tell stories about this time. So this show... It's really a treat for me to write. It's just such an incredible time in this country's history.
It's a show which kind of takes these elements of historical truth, and then it folds it into all of these personal stories.
Robert Thompson is with the Center for the Study of Popular Television at Syracuse University. He says through those personal stories, this most recent time in our country's history is told in a different way than in the past, which includes some historical serendipity.
All of a sudden, the period that this program portrays, which for many people is ancient history, has suddenly started to ring true with the hum of relevance.
Which has not gone unnoticed in the writer's room. Once again, John Romano.
Iraq has ways of reminding people of Vietnam.
Did my tour in Da Nang, Saigon.
Did a tour with, the technical that you don't want to, did a tour with the 3-9 in Da Nang.
In the family of the Pryors, we have one gung-ho Marine, you know, who fights his heart out in Vietnam. And his sister is gradually... enlisted in the movement against the war. So within a family, you know, you have both the support our boys sign and the bring the boys home sign.
And the show's creator, Jonathan Prince, says those two ideologies are also reflected in the thousands of letters and emails the show gets every week.
The people who are on the right side of the aisle believe this is a show about family values. The people on the left side of the aisle think it's their show. This is a show about an unjust war and about women's rights and gay rights and black rights. They're right, too.
All right, rehearsing and...
Ready and action.
Although the show averages only about 8 million viewers a week, NBC seems committed to the family-friendly drama with a consistent TV audience of not only baby boomers, but the much-coveted younger generation. And if the show continues through the timeline envisioned by its executive producer with the resignation of President Nixon, there are many hot-button stories yet to be told. Back in the writer's room, it's moving into a 13-hour day and a second giant bag of chocolate candy. Gloria Hillard, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Being in the Marines is a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, wait, Rama has a... I ended up enlisting with...